application. Now today we did an overview of the first 11 chapters of Revelation. So what does that fall under? Okay, observation, which means that it's really good as you're observing to write down questions that you have. You still can't hear me? Can you hear me? You don't think it's on? Well, it is on. Somehow I'm not picking up. I guess you have to really eat it, huh? Can you hear me now? Yeah? Yes? Can you hear me? No? Okay. Okay. I'll keep my head this direction.
It's kind of weird. We can turn it up. All right, turn that. Don't buzz. Y'all have this?
Yes.
Okay.
No.
Well, we'll just ride around it for a while. Okay, so we have observation. Is that better?
So today, when you go through, you know, as you observe, you know, you kind of jot down questions that you have, don't you? As you're going through chapter one, chapter two, et cetera, and you think, wow, what does that mean? Kind of write, keep a little paper and write them all down. But is observation this week where we're going to answer all these questions?
No.
No, probably not, because we're going to wait and do more interpretation later on if we get through these first couple weeks of observation. So it's a good week to gather questions together, and you can even ask them, but we probably won't get into a lot of detail because we want to find the answers ourselves, not have me tell you, which I probably don't know them anyway, so it's making a difference. Okay, so observation is what an overview is all about, making good, accurate observation. And we had a lot of work with keywords and looking to see just what it says. So if we go to Revelation chapter 1, what is John's purpose in writing the book of Revelation? And his purpose, of course, was given to him, wasn't it? What is his purpose? Okay, it's the revelation of Jesus Christ, which was given why? Okay, it's to show his bondservants what must soon take place. And so we know that the book, the name Revelation means what? We talked about this last week. Okay, an unveiling. So does God want us to know what's going to happen in the future?
Yes.
Yeah, that's why he unveiled this for us, that we can see what's going to happen in the future. He wants us to know. That's a good place to start, isn't it? Okay, so how did the revelation come? Who did it start with?
God.
It started with God. Who gave it to who?
Jesus.
Okay, to Jesus. Who gave it to?
Angel.
Who passed it down to?
John.
And John was to write it and give it to who?
Churches.
The churches. The bond servants, right? Quite a line of revelation, wasn't it? So John was to pass it on to the churches who are full of bondservants. Does that include us then today? Yeah, this is a message for us, isn't it? This is a message for us to hear. Now, Revelation chapter 1, verse 19, we have the breakdown that they use of this book. Now, what are the segments of the book of Revelation given to us in John chapter 1, verse 19. Okay, things that he's seen, and that's chapter what? Okay, what's the next one? That's chapters. Third segment would be after these things, right? Chapters what? Okay. So every commentator practically that you look at will break it up this way. This is the way the book is broken down to make a nice 3-point outline. Okay. Now, I think you could also look at it, verse 19, that word and is a word, it's the only word I remember from my Greek practically, it's the word chi, and it means and, also, even, or namely. And if you look at that verse, which I think this makes so much more sense, so I just throw this out here because it's the way I think of it. Therefore, write the things which you have seen, namely the things which are, and the things which will take place after these things. Which, to me, makes more sense because the whole book of Revelation is something that he's seen, isn't it? And that's a key word throughout the whole book of Revelation. He looked and he saw. He saw, he saw, he saw. And we see the things he sees that are and the things that he sees that are after these things. And I think the first chapter is really an introduction and the calling of John and, you know, of course, his vision of Christ. So you can look at it either way you want, but that's kind of how I think of it when I look at this book. Okay, what does John see in the book of, in the first chapter of the book of Revelation? What's that? In the first chapter, what does he see? Okay, he sees Jesus. How does that come about? Where is John? Okay, he's on the Isle of Patmos because of his testimony, and it says he's in the Spirit on the Lord's Day. Now, what would that mean, do we think? In the Spirit on the Lord's Day. What's that?
Praying or worshiping.
Could be. Okay. What is the Lord's Day? What do we think? Did they? Yeah.
A day of judgment.
Okay.
Him coming back.
Okay.
And settling things.
Okay. The day of the Lord, probably more than they didn't call Sunday the Lord's Day back then. So it was probably talking about the day of the Lord, looking ahead to the future things. And he was in the Spirit, and probably that's some relation to his state where the prophecy was delivered to him, because we see it again in chapter 4 that he is in the Spirit. Okay, he's in the Spirit and the Lord saying, what does he hear? Okay, the loud voice like a trumpet. And what does it tell him? All right, so we have kind of the commissioning of John, don't we? He's to write what he sees, and he's to send it to the seven churches, and the seven churches are listed. And then when he turns to see the voice, what sight does he behold? Okay, he sees the seven golden lampstands, and who's in the midst of the lampstands? One like the Son of Man. It's the Lord Jesus, and he describes all the different parts of him and what his appearance was like. And when he saw him, what response did he have? Yeah, he fell down at his feet like he was a dead man. And of course, he receives the message not to be afraid. And he identifies himself in the first and the last, the living one, and I was dead. In case he has any doubt who it was, he's the one who was dead, but is what?
Alive.
He is alive forevermore, and he holds the keys of death and Hades. Therefore, write. And then we see in verse 20 that we see the symbols of the lampstands and the stars, and what does Jesus explain about those things in verse 20? Okay. Yeah, he explains the symbolism, doesn't he? Which kind of gives us a good beginning to the book of that is full of symbols, isn't it? That Jesus himself explains that there's a mystery about these symbols, and the lampstands are the churches, and the stars are the angels of the seven churches. And so he kind of sets the interpretation method there by explaining that they do have meaning, and this is what they mean. Okay. So chapter 2 and chapter 3 then, we don't have time to go into all the churches, but what is contained in chapter 2 of Revelation? Okay, right, the letters to Ephesus and Smyrna and Pergamum and Thyatira. And what is the recurring, how are these letters set up? There's a pattern to each letter. How are they set up? Okay, he knows their condition. And before he says that, though, there's a special thing that goes before that. What is it? Okay, a description of himself that has something to do with what's going on there, doesn't it? And he goes back to that description in chapter 1, and he's identifying himself in a certain way. And he says, I know what's going on in your church. And then he tells them what? Okay, he tells them what they're doing right, if there is anything. Sometimes, is there? No. Okay, and then he tells them what? Okay, what they're doing wrong. And then he tells them to do what? Well, if there's something that they're doing wrong, yes, but he tells them that if they have an ear, let them hear what? Okay, so the Holy Spirit is speaking to each one of these churches in a very distinct way, and their job is to what? Yeah, it's to listen and to obey. And that's the message for us today as well, isn't it? That as we studied all these different churches, we saw that they weren't just churches back in the day of John, although they were, weren't they? They were literal churches. But they also have application to us and our churches today, and we saw their application throughout history as the different eras of the church had rolled by. And so they were to hear what the Spirit says to the churches. And then he gave them promises in the form of what? If they did what? Okay, if they overcame, he told them what the promise would be, and we looked at those last time. So all these letters to the churches, all seven of them have the same pattern. They're to hear, to listen. So chapter 3 had which letters?
Sardis, Philadelphia, and Laodicea.
Okay, Sardis, Philadelphia, and Laodicea. And who's speaking in all of these letters? Who is the one who's speaking? Okay, it's Jesus. He's writing to his churches that he is in the midst of. And so he knows what's going on in these churches. He is right there in the midst of them. Okay, then we get to chapter 4. And what are the first words that kind of set a new time frame for us here? Okay, after these things. So we saw the first breakdown here was the things that are. And then now this segment, after these things. So we know this is talking about something after the churches, in the future, after all these things. So after these things, he did what? Okay, he looked, right? He's going to be the one who's looking and seeing and observing. And what was open in the heaven? Okay, there was a door. And what voice did he hear?
The first voice.
Okay, it was the first voice, which was the voice of who? I'm not sure either, but I think it's Jesus. But if we go and look at chapter 1, it's the first voice that he heard, right? We know it's the first voice, the voice, the sound of a trumpet. In Revelation chapter 1, he says, I was in the Spirit and the Lord saying, I heard a loud voice like the sound of a trumpet. And when he turned to see where who the voice was, he saw the vision. And then he says, and then he said to me, the man, you know, the one who he saw in the vision, don't be afraid, I'm the first and the last living one. Therefore, write the things which you have seen. So I'm thinking it's the same voice.
I'm totally hung up on verse 12, where it says, then I turned to see the voice that was speaking with me.
Mm-hmm.
And having turned, I saw seven golden lampstands. And then when it gets to chapter 4, it says, and the first voice which I heard, and he refers back to that first voice, but there's no reference of that voice is Jesus before or after that.
No, that's a good point.
I don't think he engages with the voice. I mean, grammatically.
Well, that could be. I've tried to run the voices through because, you know, he says he gave it to the angel to give to, yeah. So, yeah, no, that's good. That's really good. You know, as you read through these things, try to figure out, because the voices keep coming, don't they? And sometimes they're identified, and sometimes they're not. Yeah. So
they're all within the line of, or this one anyhow, the line of God, Jesus, angel, and John.
Uh-huh.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
So you know that.
I don't think they're that separate.
Pardon?
No, that's okay.
Yeah. No, to me, since it was given, and it was probably given and passed on perfectly, if you were questioning one of those voices, then they're all the same to me, kind of.
Well, but then you get to the end of the book, and there's the angel speaking, and then it changes over to, and I am the first and the last, the, you know, coming again. So it's really, this is a good thing to be looking at as you do your observation and try to identify the voices, because I think it is an important thing, and it can be tricky to, the pronouns are not real clear. So that's just a really good thing to try and figure out as we go through.
Of associating with angels?
Aren't what trumpets?
Trumpets.
Well, he had a voice like a trumpet.
Mm-hmm. Gabriel.
And the first angel that spoke, yeah. So it could be. So just keep thinking about these things. This is our time to ask the questions, isn't it? Is to observe and try to figure out what we are seeing. And of course, his voice, if you look at the description of Christ in verse 15, what was his voice like in chapter 1? Chapter 1, verse 15? Okay, it's like the sound of many waters, so it's not necessarily like the sound of a trumpet, is it? So, you know, keep working on it. We'll figure it out. All right. Okay, Ruth has charted out all the voices for us. You still can't figure it out?
I came down as an angel on that one, but who knows?
So you think it was an angel?
I do, but I wasn't.
Okay.
I love the scriptures.
No, that's fine. After 9 pages of charting, if Ruth says it's an angel, yeah? Well, it's between an angel. It's not necessarily between the persons of the Trinity. We're looking at it as either being an angelic voice or perhaps the voice of Christ.
But then he does talk about the Spirit.
What's that?
He does talk about the Spirit.
Yes.
So that's like one.
Well, that's true. But, you know, we're looking at the angel messenger. And, yeah, so it's just fun to...
Laid it out, there would have been a reason for doing the chain of communication.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that's what I thought at first, but then, you know, you read it and you get kind of confused. Mm-hmm. Ruth?
When we were in the book of Daniel, I think it's 10 or 11, where that angel appeared. And there were some differences of opinion among us. Again, for the same reason.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Angel or Christ?
Yeah. Yes.
This is just a personal thing. Years ago, I had a car accident, and I was knocked unconscious, and while I was unconscious in the hospital, I heard this voice that said, "You're going to be okay. I am watching over you. I am taking care of you." And for years, I could not describe to anybody that voice. And then when Henry and I, when the kids were little, we took the kids to Niagara Falls. And as we got close, I said, "That's it, Henry, that's it." That's what that voice, sounded like. It was powerful, but there was a gentility about it, too. That voice just you're going to be okay. I am watching over you. I am taking care of you.
The sound of the waters, huh?
That was the sound of the water. I couldn't put my I couldn't describe it for years. And then when the kids were little, we took the kids. I said, "Henry, that's it." And that was that voice.
Wow. And that's neat. Okay, so not the trumpet. It wasn't the trumpet that you heard. Okay, so we'll say it's an angel.
Think through the same thing when we get to chapter 10.
Uh-huh.
And as I came and struggled with this, I thought, we have no idea of the angelic hierarchy.
No.
Mm-mm. Maybe we need to stop and think about that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Should we also keep in mind that angels are messengers?
They are, yes. Yeah, they are. Mm-hmm.
I also think it's important that none of these are contradicting each other. It's
not
to me, I guess that I'm a big picture person, and that's fine if you're not, but to me it's like they're all kind of giving the same message. Nobody's jumping in and contradicting or saying something different.
Right, because the message is coming from who?
God.
And the messengers give it forth. Okay. Okay, so chapter 4. So he sees the throne. The door's opened. He goes up. He says, "Come up here, and I'll show you what must take place after these things." And he was in the Spirit. And what does he see? Okay, the throne. Who is on the throne? Okay, it's God the Father. And he is just, the description he gives is just awesome, isn't it, of the brilliance of the throne of God. And who does he see around the throne? What does he see? Okay, there's 24 elders sitting upon 24 what?
Thrones.
And they are clothed how?
White garments.
Okay, white garments with the crowns on their heads. And then also, coming from the throne is what? Okay, lightning and sounds and thunder. So it's a really awesome picture we have here, isn't it? The throne of God, all that power. You think of thunderstorms, all the power in a thunderstorm, all that thunder. And then who was before the throne then also? Okay. The seven spirits of God. We talked about that later or earlier, and we'll talk about it again later. And then before the throne, there was something like what?
A sea of glass.
Okay, a sea of glass, like crystal. And then there was what also? The four living creatures with full of eyes in front and behind that describes the four living creatures. And what are all of these creatures engaged in? What are they all doing? It's worship, isn't it? We see the throne of God, and with the throne of God is worship. It can't be anything but, can there? They are all worshiping the Lord because he is what? He is worthy. He is worthy to receive the glory and the honor and the power, for he created all things, and because of your will, they existed and were created. So if this is his creation, what right does he have to judge the creation that he's made? Does he have a right?
Yes.
Yes. And because of that, then he is going to be glorified. So that's chapter 4. And then chapter 5, what happens? All right, he's still looking, and he's looking at the throne, and what does he see in the hand of God? Okay, a book or a scroll, and it's written inside and on the back and sealed up with what? Okay, seven seals. So the seals are to prevent anyone from peeking inside, right? You can't read it if it's all sealed up. And of course, the call goes out by a strong angel voice saying, what? Okay. Who is worthy to open the book? You can see this book is important. It's in the hand of God. Who's worthy to open it? And of course, what's John's response immediately? Right, he's overwhelmed and weeping because he thinks there's no one who can open the book. No one is worthy. But who does he see? Who is worthy to open the book? Okay, it's the Lamb. He saw a Lamb. The Lamb standing as if what? Slain. As if slain. He says, of course, one of the elders already told him to stop weeping because the Lion of Judah and the Root of David, he is worthy to open the book. And that one, that Lion of Judah, the Root of David, is the Lamb that was slain. And so, once again, what happens when he takes the book? What happens in the heavens?
Worship.
Yeah, worship breaks out again, doesn't it? And we have the all the creatures worshiping again. Now, worthy is the one who was on the throne in chapter 4, and now worthy is the one, the Lamb, that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and glory and honor and blessing. And every living creature did what? Okay, all worship. This really sets the stage for the whole book of Revelation, doesn't it? Because who has the right to bring all of these things into action, really, to put all this stuff, to trigger it all off and to get it all moving? Who has the right to do that? Yeah, it's Jesus. It's the Lamb who has the right to do this. And it's a time to give him honor and praise. You know, somewhere in Isaiah, I don't remember which chapter it was or what verse, but it says that at the end that vengeance was in his heart. You know, we think about our Savior, and do we think of him that way? But there is in his heart for the right time that there is vengeance that he will repay. And that when they are praising him for that, that he is the one to do that. And we should remember that and praise him for that too. Okay. All right. Chapter 6. What happens in chapter 6? Okay. All right. We have the first six seals that are broken. Who breaks the seals? Okay. The Lamb is breaking the seals. And when he breaks the seals, what do we hear? Yes, the voice with the sound of thunder saying, come. Then when he looks, what does he see the first time? Okay, it's a white horse. What does he do? Describe him to me. Okay, he has a bow in his hand, and the crown is given to him. And what does he do? Okay, went out to conquer and to conquer. Now, someone pointed out last night that he doesn't seem to have any arrows. he has a bow, but it doesn't say he has arrows. We could assume that he has arrows, but maybe he doesn't. He's given a crown, so it insinuates that he's going to be a what? Okay, some kind of a ruler, and he goes out to conquer. All right, that was the first seal. Second seal, what do we see? Okay, the red horse. Now, what is the red horse? What's he like? What does he do? Okay, he's going to take peace from the earth, and what's the result of that going to be? Okay, it's going to set man against man, isn't it? Men are going to be killing one another. A great sword was given to him. So there's going to be violence and a lack of peace when the red horse goes out and men killing each other. Okay, the third seal, what does he hear and see? Okay, the third living creature saying, come, and he looked, and the black horse. Now, what does the black horse have in his hand?
Scales.
Okay, a pair of scales. And what does he hear? Oh, something like a voice, okay. Same. Okay, we're talking about the food here, isn't it? It's a quart of wheat for a denarius, 3 quarts of barley for a denarius, and do not damage the oil and the wine. So there's going to be probably famine, isn't there? There's going to be a lack of grain, a lack of thing that ordinary people would use to eat, but there's going to be plenty of what? Oil and wine that they won't be able to afford to buy anyway, probably. Okay. Verse 7, the fourth seal. What does he hear and see? Okay, an ashen horse. Just that word kind of gives you a clue, doesn't it? What about the one who sits on that horse? Okay, death and Hades following with him. And authority was given to him over how much of the earth? Okay, a fourth of the earth to okay, so it's going to be many ways that death is going to come, isn't it? Over the fourth of the earth that he's given dominion over. It's going to be with the sword, with famine, with pestilence, and by the wild beasts. And so there's going to be a lot of death over a fourth of the earth's population. Now, when the Lamb broke the fifth seal, what did he see? Okay, so who are these? Okay, these are saints. These are martyrs that were killed because of the word of God and because of the testimony. So these are ones that did what? They overcame, right? They held firm to the end, and they are killed, and they are under the altar. And what are they saying? What are they asking the Lord? Okay.
Diana?
Yeah.
Are these martyrs from the tribulation?
I believe so.
Not church martyrs and Old Testament martyrs, but only tribulation context.
I think so. I'm not 100% sure of that, but I do think so. They're under the altar because they had maintained their testimony, and they're asking, how long are you going to refrain from judging and avenging our blood on those who dwell on the earth? And what does he answer them? They were told, yeah?
Interesting point is that this does show that, and this doesn't have anything to do with anything, except it's interesting, it does show that there's time in heaven, too. Because they're asking how long, and he says a little while longer.
Yeah,
so I think that's kind of interesting.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. A little while longer. Yeah, and then we're going to get a little bit later, and we'll see a half an hour of time. Yeah.
This thought is occurred to me. Do these seals take place one thing at a time, or is it kind of boom, 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 boom. Does he open a seal and it happens? Opens a second seal and it's all at once, kind of?
You get the feeling there's a progression of time, that it's first this, then this, and we don't know how much time necessarily passes in between each one, but you kind of get the feeling of there being a progression of time through this.
So you think this takes, the first 3.5 years, it takes 3.5 years for all this to happen?
Well, we'll find that out as we go along. These are questions as you go through, and then you're going to chart these chapters out as well that we can answer as we go Yeah.
Diana, since this is overview, that's more detail, but also with that detail, I'm reminded, I have been told things about the book of Revelation that I need to get out of my mind and just come to the study now in an overview, because I've been told an awful lot of things and taught an awful lot of things. They may be right, they may be wrong, but that's not... They'll crowd my interpretation.
Right, your observations, yeah.
Observations.
Yeah.
Observations.
Yeah, yeah.
And interpretations.
Yeah. Yeah. You don't really want to assume our answers. You want to kind of wait and see, because we're going to be in this book for not just this semester, but then two more semesters as well. So we're going to have a lot of time to figure it all out. We just want to look and see, what does it say right now? That's a good point, Ruth. Okay, so he says, they're to rest for a little while longer until the number of their fellow servants and their brethren who were to be killed, even as they had been, were to be completed also.
So that would be the tribulation saints, wouldn't they, in verse 11?
Mm-hmm. The rest of them. Okay, I looked then when he broke the which seal?
Sixth
seal. And what happened when the sixth seal is broken?
Earthquake.
Okay, it's not just an earthquake, it's a what? Okay, it is a great earthquake. So much that the sun became what?
Black.
Okay, black as sackcloth made of hair, and the whole moon became like blood. What happened to the stars? Okay, and don't you love the descriptions? They fell to the earth as a fig tree casts its unripe figs when shaken by a great wind. So when that tree is shaken, and unripe figs, would they fall to the ground easily?
No,
they won't. It takes a great shaking for something unripe to fall from the tree, doesn't it? Mm-hmm. When they're ripe and they're ready to go, they drop. At least that's my understanding of fruit on trees. Okay. Then what happened in verse 14? The sky was rolled up like a scroll. I think we could write a song about that one. And every mountain and island were moved out of their places. So when all this happens, then what happens to the people on the earth?
They hide.
Right. And which people are these that are going to hide? There's no distinction, is there? It's the kings, and it is the slaves and the servants, and it's everyone. Everyone is affected by this. All the people that are on the earth are affected by this. And what do they say to the mountains and the rocks? Okay. They'd rather just die. Just the rocks fall on us, hide us from the wrath of the Lamb and the presence of the Lamb, because his wrath has come. Who is able to stand? Who is able? Okay, chapter 7. How does this chapter begin? After this, he saw what? And what are they doing? Okay, they're staying at the four corners of the earth. You know the earth has corners? Okay, what would the corners be? Okay. Holding back the four winds of the earth so that what? No wind. So you think of what happens, there's no wind blowing. And then you saw another angel ascending from the rising of the sun, which is which direction? Okay. And what does he have? Okay, he has the seal of the living God. And he tells them, the angels, the four angels, what? What message does he have to them from God? Okay. So they are standing, they're poised, ready to do their harm, aren't they? He said, but don't harm anything until we have sealed the bondservants of our God on their foreheads. And then he heard the number of those who were sealed. How many men, and which men are these that were sealed? Okay, it's 144,000, and they are from every tribe of Israel. 12,000 from every tribe, and he lists them all out. So they are all sealed. And so until these guys are sealed, there's no one that can be harmed at this point until they are taken care of. Now, then there's another time phrase in verse 9 that says what? Okay, so after these things, then what does John see? Okay. A great multitude which no one can count, and they are from? Okay, from every possible people group, and they're standing before the throne and before the Lamb, and they are what? How are they clothed?
White robes,
palm branches. And what are they doing? Okay, they're worshiping. And when they worship, who else worships? The angels and the living creatures, they're all worshiping. They're all giving honor and praise to God. Now, what does one of the elders ask John? Ask John. He asked John this question. I think John is amazed he's being asked. What do they ask him? Who are they? And how does John respond? You know. I don't know. You know. So he explains it to him, doesn't he? He says, these are the ones who come out of the what? Great tribulation. And they have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. For this reason, they are before the throne of God. And what do, day and night? Okay, they're serving him. And he who sits on the throne will do what? Tabernacle over them. And he'll protect them, won't they? And for the Lamb, don't you love this? The Lamb in the center of the throne is their what?
Shepherd.
Is their shepherd. So the Lamb is also the shepherd, the great shepherd, isn't he? And he is going to protect them and wipe all the tears from their eyes and lead them to the springs of the water of life. It is such an amazing picture. So the multitude is before the throne. The 144,000 are where? On the earth. Okay, chapter 8. How does this chapter open? Okay, the Lamb is going to open the seventh seal. We ended on 6 a couple chapters ago. And when he breaks the seventh seal, what happens? Isn't that, you know, we kind of read over this, but what have we heard in heaven up to this point?
Worship.
Yeah, worship and what? Thunder, yeah, and sounds. Remember the sounds coming from the throne and this thunder and all the creatures and the people all worshiping. For a half an hour, there is going to be complete silence in heaven. That's, to me, just awesome. I guess we'll just keep thinking about why that is. Okay, so there's silence in heaven. Then what does he see? Okay, so the seventh seal has been broken, and the seventh seal brings forth what? Okay, seven angels holding
seven
trumpets. And then after that, what do we see? Okay, and what does he bring? Okay, the incense. And what does he add it to? Okay, the prayers of the saints. So we have the smoke of the incense with the prayers of the saints rising up before God out of the hand of the angels. And then he fills the censer with what?
Fire.
Okay, fire from where? Okay, from the altar. And does what with it? When he does that, what happens on the earth? Okay. All right, it's like a big announcement, isn't it, that something is coming. It's all that, he throws that fire down. There's all of this upheaval. And so we have the seven angels then with the seven trumpets, and they're preparing themselves to sound. Now, what happens when the first one sounds? Okay. All right, so we have the hail with the fire mixed with blood thrown to the earth, and how many people are going to die? Okay, one third of the earth was burned up. What does it say? How many died, does it? A third of the earth was burned up. A third of the
trees
were burned up. And what? Okay, all of the green grass is destroyed. Second angel, what happens? Okay, there's something like a great mountain that's burning with fire and is thrown into the sea. And what happens to the sea? Okay. Yeah.
Is there a significance to the amount one third? I mean, it seems like it keeps going through here, and it's one third, one third, one third, one third. Is there any significance to that?
It's not all of it.
I think that's the significance, yeah, because later on we get to different proportions later on. But I think the significance is that they're not all destroyed at one time.
Yeah.
Why not?
Russia, because in the field, that there was a 1/4 with the fields, and now it's a third, and then later with the...
It's more.
With the bowls, it's all of it.
Why do you think it's not all at one time?
Opportunity.
Okay, because even in this, God is not willing, what? Any should perish. All should come to repentance. And we know that as 144,000 go out, what's going to be happening on the earth among the people? Yeah, there are going to be people who are going to repent. Yeah.
Is it, each time it says a third, is it like a third of those remaining? Or is it like one third?
I think it's of those remaining. Because there's going to, you're right, so it's going to be a different amount because there's going to be fewer. Think how many people are on the earth. This is a lot of people, a lot of, well, this isn't people at this point. This is the vegetation, but yeah, it's a lot. Okay, so we have the seas turning into blood, a third of it, and then a third of the creatures which were in the sea
died.
And what about the ships? Even the ships. Okay, a third of the ships were destroyed. Okay, then when the third angel sounded, what did we see? Yeah, a great star fell from heaven, burning like a torch, and it fell on a third of the rivers. So we had the salt water in the sea, and now what do we have here? Okay, the fresh water being afflicted. And what is the name of the star?
Wormwood.
What does that signify? Bitter. And a third of the waters became wormwood, and many men died from the waters because they were made bitter. Because people depend upon the fresh water, don't they? You depend upon the fresh water for drinking. And the fourth angel sounded, and what did we have? Okay, so it's the sun, the moon, the stars. So a third of them would be darkened, and the day would not shine for a third of it. And the night in the same way. So the day light and the night is going to be altered, aren't they? It's going to be a third reduction in the light. Then I looked. As he looked, what does he hear? Man, eagle. An eagle flying in mid-heaven. And what is the eagle saying? Because of what? The three angels. Okay, so the three trumpet blasts are going to bring what?
Whoa.
Whoa, whoa, whoa. Who are those who dwell upon the earth? Remember last course we looked at characteristics in the book of Revelation of those who were the earth dwellers. Who are they?
Unbelieving
Gentiles. Okay.
Well,
all
unbelieving
right.
Anybody.
Okay. It's the people who regard the earth as their home, right? They are settled into the earth and the world system. These are the earth dwellers. That's important to remember as we go through this. It's the earth dwellers. Okay, chapter 9. We had the woes predicted. The woes are coming. The eagle has said so. Then the fifth angel sounds in chapter 9. And what happens? Okay, a star from the heaven fell to the earth, and what was given to him? Who do you think the star was? Well, we don't need to interpret this, I guess. So the star fell, the key is given to him, and what does this one do that fell from heaven? What does he do with the key? Okay. He opens the bottomless pit, and when he opens the pit, what happens? Yeah, can't we just picture this? I mean, it's like all those horrible movies all put together. So he opens up the pit, and the smoke of the great furnace and the sun and the air were darkened by the smoke of the pit. And then out of the smoke came what?
Locusts.
Locusts upon the earth. And what was given to them? Okay, just like scorpions of the earth have power. But they were told not to do what? Right, isn't that unusual?
An indicator to time, because the last chapter, all of the green things were burned up, and now they're back.
Well, it was a third of the green things. The grass was all gone, but grass grows back. That's, I think grass grows back. Okay, so out of the pit comes these locusts who, unlike the locusts in the Little House in the Prairie book, you know, when they look out the window and they see that cloud of locusts, and what do the locusts there eat? Yeah, everything green, right? If the locusts go by, there's nothing left. These locusts are told not to eat the green things, but only the men who what? Okay, so they have no power over those who are sealed by God on their foreheads, but they were not permitted to do what? To kill anyone, only to torment. And they were going to torment for how long?
5 months.
And their torment was going to be like scorpions, and they sting a man. And it's going to be so bad that what are the people going to do? Okay, they're going to seek it. Are they going to be able to die?
No.
No, they're going to want to die. You think how bad it is that you want to die, but they're not going to find it. They're going to long to die. And then it describes the locust, doesn't it? And all these different strange descriptions of the locust. And they have a king over them. And who's the king of them? Okay, the angel of the abyss. His name is who? Okay, Abaddon and Apollyon, right, in Greek. So he is the one who is the ruler of these locusts that came out of the pit. Now, that's the first woe, isn't it? That was the first woe. Behold, two more woes are coming after these things. Then the sixth angel sounds, yep.
I have a question about those that were sealed. So is it only the 144,000 that have the seal that are going to be exempt from the locusts? What about Gentile Christian believers that are on the earth?
We'll keep thinking about that, won't we? Who do we know are sealed on their foreheads with the seal of God? These are the ones that we've, if you look at the antecedent of that, it would be those from Israel, those 144,000. But I don't know for sure. But that's what I would think. Because they already have the seal on their forehead. Okay, the sixth angel sounded, and I heard what? Okay, heard a voice from the four horns of the golden altar, which is before God, and the horns are in the corners of the altar. And one saying to the sixth angel who had the trumpet, what is he saying? All right, so apparently there's four angels bound at the great river Euphrates. And what had they been prepared for?
To kill a third of mankind.
Okay, so there is a specific day down to the year, the day, the month that these were prepared for, and this is their job. And what is their job? To kill a third of mankind. So this is the job of these four angels. They're holding it back, and they are going to kill a third of mankind. Now, the number of the armies of the horsemen, now who we won't talk about where these are, this is this observation, was what? That is a lot of soldiers on horses, isn't it? I heard the number of them, and this is how I saw in the vision the horses. And he describes them, and they have all, once again, they have heads like lion. They have all these different things that they're described by. But what does it say is going to happen with this plague, these three plagues? Okay. Another third of mankind is going to be killed by these three plagues. And what are the three plagues? Okay, that proceed out of their mouths. They're going to be bringing destruction as they come. The power of the horses is in their what?
Mouths.
Okay. Their tails are like serpents and have heads, and with them they do harm. Now the rest of mankind who were not killed by these plagues, what?
Did not repent
of what? Okay. So as to...
Do not harm the grass. So there's still a little bit of life. There's still an opportunity for people to repent if they would, and don't. There's still opportunity because green kind of represents life, and
But these earth dwellers apparently are involved in idol worship and in murder and sorcery and immorality and thievery. This is a very dark, dark culture, isn't it? And they're not repenting. They're experiencing the judgment of God, and apparently they know that it's judgment coming from God from the chapter we saw earlier, but they are not repenting. They're not repenting. They are not repenting. It is. Okay. Chapter 10. He sees another strong angel coming down out of heaven. And how is he clothed? With a cloud. And a rainbow around his head. And his face was like sun. His feet like pillars of fire. And he had in his hand a what? Isn't that kind of funny? He's this majestic angel that has this little book in his hand, which is open. It's an open book. And he puts his right hand where? His right foot where? And his left foot on the... So this is a mighty, majestic angel, a strong angel with this little book. And he cried out with a loud voice as when a lion roars. And when he cried out, what answered him? Okay, seven peals of thunder uttered their voices. Now, when John heard the voices, the seven peals of thunder spoke, what did he want to do right away? He wanted to write it down. He understood the words, didn't he? And he wanted to write it down, but what was he told? Okay, these are things that John is not to write down. They are to be sealed up. So there's something that we don't know that's going to happen. It was something that John thought was worth writing down, but he was not to write it. Okay, and then the angel that he saw lifted up his right hand to heaven, and he did what? And what did he swear? Okay, no more delay. There's going to be delay no longer. But in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he's about to sound, then what's going to happen? Okay, the mystery of God is going to be finished. As he had preached to who? Okay, so all the things that we've studied over all these years that God has told about what's going to happen in the future, in the day of the Lord, all of these things are going to be completed. They're all going to be accomplished and finished. There is a day coming when it's all going to be finished. Okay, then he hears a voice from heaven, and what does the voice say? He's talking to John. What does he tell him to do? Okay. Yes, take that little book that's open and eat the book. Eat it. And what does he tell him about the book? Okay, it's going to make his stomach hurt. It's going to make his stomach bitter, but what is it going to taste like in his mouth? Okay, didn't we see this before? Who? Was it Ezekiel? Okay, and he eats the little scroll, and what does it taste like in his mouth? But wasn't it bitter? Because it was what?
Well, it was judgment that he had to speak to them. I don't remember that it was bitter, though.
Okay, I thought it was bitter.
Yeah.
Okay, but it's the idea that it's sweet in his mouth. Why? Why is it sweet in his mouth? Okay, it's God's word. It's the word of God that's sweeter than honey, honey from the honeycomb. But why would it be bitter? Okay, because it's judgment. It's going to be judgment that's coming. So sure enough, he has the bitter stomach after he eats the scroll. But what does he tell him? What does the angel tell him? Okay, you're going to prophesy again concerning many peoples and nations and tongues and kings. And it's going to be something that's going to be really bad. What's that? John did. Yep, John did. All right, so then Revelation 11 is the last chapter we're going to look at. Then there was given him what? Okay, a rod like a staff. And what's he supposed to do? Okay. He's to measure the temple of God and the altar and those who worship in it. But what is he not supposed to measure? Okay, don't measure the court, for it's been given to the nations. It's the Gentiles. Now what are they going to do to the holy city? Okay, so the holy city is going to be trampled underfoot for 42 months, which is what? 3.5 years. All right, so we know there's trouble coming to the city of Jerusalem for 3.5 years. And I will grant authority to who? Ah, here we have two new characters on the story. My two witnesses. And what are these two witnesses going to do? Okay. They'll prophesy for 1,260 days, which is how long? 3.5 years. And how are they going to be dressed? And what does that signify? Okay. Sackcloth indicates mourning. They're calling to repentance, right? So they're going to be prophesying on the earth. Now, what happens to anyone that wants to harm them? Yeah, they're going to be consumed by fire from the prophets' mouths. Aren't they? So if they want to hurt them, this is what's going to happen to them. And what do these prophets have the power to do? Okay. They have the power to shut up the sky so the rain won't fall, kind of like who? Elijah. Remember Elijah in the days of Ahab? He could shut up the sky. And power to do what? Okay, waters to blood and... Okay, strike the earth with... Kind of like who? Who would they be like? Moses, right? So you see that these two very, very revered prophets, they're going to be like them. Yes. Now, when they finish their testimony, the beast that comes out of the abyss will make war with them and do what? Okay, he is going to overcome them and kill them. And what's going to happen to their dead bodies? Okay, what street are they going to lay in? Okay, it's in Jerusalem. It's a great city which is mystically called Sodom in Egypt, which we know because of all the what happened there. Well, it was all of that idolatry that the kings brought in, right? But we know it's Jerusalem because it says where also was crucified. Okay, so they're going to be laying in the street, and the people of the earth dwellers are going to do what? Okay, they're going to look at their bodies for 3.5 days. They're not going to put them in a tomb. They're going to walk through and they're going to look at them. Aren't they? They're all going to look at them. And when they look at them and they see him dead, what are they going to do? Yeah, it's party time on the earth, isn't it? It's a new holiday they're going to celebrate. And they're going to send gifts to one another. And they're celebrating because why? These prophets that tormented them. Now, what were these prophets doing? What were they doing? Okay, they were calling them to repentance, weren't they? And these earth dwellers, you can see the hardness of their hearts. They view this as being tormented, and they are so happy when they die. But after 3.5 days, what's going to happen? Okay, they're going to come back to life, and then they're all going to be afraid, and they're going to go up into the clouds. And when that happens, what's going to happen? Okay, great earthquake. And what's going to happen to Jerusalem? Okay. The tenth of the city is going to fall. Earthquake, people terrified, giving glory to God of heaven. The second woe is past. We heard the third one is coming quickly. Now the seventh angel sounded. There were voices in heaven saying what? Okay. This is like a huge thing, isn't it? They're all rejoicing, saying the kingdom of the world has become the kingdom of our God and of his Christ, and he will reign forever and ever. Think back to the statue in Daniel, right? The statue that showed the kingdoms of mankind, remember? All the progression of the kingdoms. And what was going to happen in the days of the toes? Okay, and then the kingdom of God was going to come, wasn't it? So this is saying that all these things are going to be necessary to crush that statue so that it'll disintegrate and the kingdom will become the kingdom of our God and of his Christ, and he will reign, and they all worship God. And we see the Ark of the Covenant appearing in his temple, and flashes of lightning and sounds of thunder and just all kinds of things as they celebrate the fact that God's kingdom is going to come. Think about that. The progression of all of time is to this point, isn't it? Everything is about God's kingdom being restored and God's kingdom coming back. Another fun way to look at this book of Revelation is thinking in terms of contrast. You know, we started off with good and evil, you know, in the Garden of Eden, we see God, we see Satan, we see the, you know, men choosing their sides, and all throughout we see that, don't we? As we go through, think about Matthew, there's two paths, aren't there? There's the what path? The wide path, and then there's the narrow path. There's light and there's dark. There's two sides. And as you go through the book of Revelation, you know, think about that. Which side are these people on? Which sides are these events on? What's going on here? And kind of try to dichotomize it that way. But here it's saying that there are two kingdoms, and the kingdom of the world is not going to last forever, is it? But it is going to become. It's going to be swallowed up by the kingdom of God, and that kingdom is going to last forever and ever and ever. All right. Well, in your small groups, which we're a little bit late, so we need to get to that, you're going to be discussing what we heard when we studied last semester. What did we hear the angel or the Spirit of the Lord saying to us today through those seven churches that we looked at in Revelation? So discuss that together as a kind of review, and then to hear what the Lord said to us. All right. Another week of overview. Good job, ladies. I know. We just pray for good weather. Yes. Well, you know, sometimes the patterns will fall on a certain day of the week. Like the weather will change over on Sunday, which is fine. One year it was on Tuesday. Every Tuesday. Well, and I had Tuesday night too, and it was what to do, because I have to decide myself on Tuesday what to do.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, that's tough.
Yeah. 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 Yes. Yeah. So it's really a good thing to pray about for your sense of the weather.
I'm not sure.